ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
At big rallies on the weekend, women and men came together to say enough is enough. Violence against women must end. But how do we end it? Today, host of Radio National Breakfast, Q&A, and the Party Room podcast, Patricia Karvelis, on what really needs to happen to fix one of the nation's most entrenched problems. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Hey, the rallies against violence against women on the weekend, it was a real moment, I think. A lot of people turned up, didn't they?
They certainly did. Women and men, we should mention. It wasn't just women. But the fact that thousands of women turned out in both regional Australia and in our cities, including, of course, in the nation's capital where the Prime Minister went, says, I think, again, that this is a top order issue for so many people.
We're out here because what has been happening in terms of violence against women in Australia is unacceptable. It's not properly reported on. It's not something that is widely talked about, and especially with our daughter. We want her to grow up in a world where it's not on her to keep herself safe.
Men need to educate their sons. If your daughter's going out at night, you talk about safety and be safe. When your son's going out, what do you actually say? Go and have a good time. So, very, very subtle difference, but you really need to push the message.
And this is a national crisis.
As you mentioned, the Prime Minister, he turned up to one of these rallies in Canberra. There was a lot of people at that rally. Was that well received? That's a sign, isn't it? It's a signal that he's taking this really seriously.
Absolutely. The Prime Minister turning up, I think, is a powerful signal and symbol of the most powerful person in the country and his ministers taking seriously this movement.
I know that we all must do better, but I know this as well, that I've got to be honest, it's not just government's problem, it's a problem of our entire society.
Well, now, of course, he's been subjected to some criticism, and I think that there'll be more that will probably emerge. He was heckled at this rally. He kind of grabbed the microphone and said his government, that they weren't invited to speak. One of the protest organisers heckled and said that that was a lie.
To be clear, we did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and were told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organisers' right to do that.
That's a full-out lie.
To do that. We're here today.
I feel like this dispute speaks to the pain among the women who are organising these demonstrations, and that pain is real. And the Prime Minister has probably not read the room in terms of the kind of way that you respond to that. And it's unfortunate, actually, because it's probably distracted from his broader message. And that broader message is they will have an emergency national cabinet on Wednesday, which will deal with this solely. They are prepared to make changes to their national plan for more immediate changes. That's where all of the energy should be, on actions.
All right, so PK, the PM, he does want to be seen to be doing something, obviously, but he's under a lot of criticism for the way that he's handled the weekend rally. I just want to talk about a piece that you wrote, because I thought it was really interesting, that there was a hope, I suppose, among all of us, and particularly maybe among the generation before us, that violence against women would almost breed itself out, that it would just go away. And it hasn't.
Not only hasn't it gone away, there is evidence that it is getting worse.
Mm.
And that is sobering. And the comparison I make in my piece is to homophobia. Now, I'm gay and I've experienced a radical reduction in homophobia in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say I don't experience it, still I do. But it's not the way it was when I was in my teens, in my early 20s. No way. And there has been a reduction in hate crimes. That's not to say they don't happen, but a reduction. And so I thought the same with women, that we would see a reduction in the violence perpetrated against women by men. And we haven't. Mm. And this year, of course, the reason it's so much on the agenda is it's actually accelerated. You know, every 4 days we've seen a woman killed, allegedly, by a man. And so clearly our programs are not working. There must be something else going on. And if you speak to lots of the experts, they say there is. We are seeing more violent pornography young men are getting access to.
Mm.
It's no coincidence, Sam, that social media has also had toxic impacts on young people through this same period.
Yes.
So what is it that young men are being exposed to during this period? And we have to ask ourselves some hard questions about what that is and how we resolve it.
So, PK, I think it's widely seen now that this is a national emergency. We're at crisis point. You can just look at the figures to know that. You can't really debate against it. So let's have a look at what the government's going to do about it. So the Prime Minister, you said, is convening a meeting of National Cabinet to discuss what federal, state and territory governments should do. The government has, though, ruled out a Royal Commission. It says we really need to focus on implementing policies already identified. So what are the policies already identified?
So saying no to a Royal Commission, I think there'll be more to play out on that. Jury's out on that, I think. The government says no Royal Commission, but the reason they say no Royal Commission does have merit, the argument being get on with it. We know what we need to do. What will the government do? Well, what they've already done matters. There's a $2.3 billion plan, lots of measures since they've come into office to deal. It's like a national plan to counter violence against women. But for a long time, in fact, that was announced around August last year. It got, we covered it a bit on RN Breakfast. It didn't get the sort of attention you'd expect. And I think that says a lot about the media and our culture and our interest in these issues waxes and wanes. And that's on all of us. But this is not funded to the level it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
All of the experts say it. I mean, if you talk to people who work in housing, for instance, every different lever is linked to this problem. So if you are a woman fleeing domestic violence, you need access to housing. We don't have enough housing in this country. That is also part of the story. There are so many parts, but how can we look at a sort of national framework for some of these things? We need to think more about how to link up our country. The federation is part of our problem, I think, Sam.
Yeah.
I used in my piece the example of COVID, where there was this nationally coordinated response. Now, the COVID response was not perfect. I'm not suggesting it was. But that kind of emergency response to what was an emergency for our country was used at that time. And I think it gave it the kind of prominence that it deserved at that time. I wonder why this doesn't get that response.
Mm.
So looking at criminal justice responses, looking at funding of frontline workers, housing, all of it, and actually immediate responses to what can be done on all of those issues, including prevention work, helping children who have lived in domestic violence situations. We don't have enough of a focus on children who are the victims of that violence. And so there is going to be enormous amounts of pressure on the governments to do this. And I think it can be a bipartisan moment if can I say, political parties choose to go down this road. I'm not sure they have yet, but if they do, it's a great opportunity to do something which is nationally significant.
Yeah, and as you say, urgent action is needed because we want to save the next woman's life. The Teal MPs, they're pretty important in this, aren't they? They're demanding much faster action. The sector says that actually $1 billion a year is needed to address this, not $2.3 billion over 5 years, which is what the government has committed. Zoe Daniel, Allegra Spender, they've got some ideas in this area.
I thought one of the ideas that was shared with me by Zoe Daniel, who's done a lot of work and advocacy around this for immediate actions, she thinks, you know, AVOs and bail are failing women, so we know that's going to be looked at, and New South Wales is doing it, but, you know, getting rid of these kind of systems which mean red flags are missed. So that means tougher rules for rules around bail, inevitably, and there might be some pushback from libertarians and people who fight for the rights of, you know, people who have been subjected to the criminal justice system. But there is always a balance in all of these things, and we are in an emergency situation. You put it beautifully. I mean, let's talk about the next woman's life that we can perhaps save rather than another demonstration on the streets for that next woman. Other things like violent online porn, toxic, misogynistic influences online, Zoe Daniel says, and, you know, all of that. Now, that's hard. Let's not pretend that's easy, because that takes us to the other debate we're having in parallel to this around violent extremist content online and regulating that. That is a tough conversation. But unless we're prepared to have it, I don't think we're going to see significant change in attitudes from young men, which can, and don't always, but can lead to violent actions. So those ideas have to be on the table, and they are going to be hard to do. But if we don't do it, we are going to be in the same place in 25 years.
Other people talk about PK trackers, you know, GPS trackers to be fitted to repeat offenders, a register for domestic violence offenders, things like that that can be done immediately. Big, big problem, and big solutions are needed, of course. But I think, PK, how do we keep the momentum going? We have a momentum, calls for change. We have a society that's really deeply concerned about this, obviously. So how do we make sure this is not just a flash in the pan?
When you're a prime minister, to give the prime minister some you know, due credit, or any prime minister, you have a lot of problems on your hands. You know, there are lots of wicked problems that face our country. There's a lot of work. There is not just one issue. But I think it does sometimes, there does come a point where any political leader can make a judgment about priorities. And this is no doubt one of the most important priorities for the country, because if violence like this was being perpetrated in any other setting, there would be no doubt that we would consider it a kind of emergency, that there would be sort of panic around it. The reason domestic and intimate partner violence is different is because we've normalised it for generations. And so what we're doing here is actually really something big. We're saying that violence that happens in the home is no longer a private issue. And we've been saying it for a while, but we're now saying it in a way that's holding leaders to account. There has to be accountability. When women are telling us, "I'm scared my ex will kill me," and our institutions are not responding, and then some of those women are dying, that is a massive systemic failure, and people have to be held to account for it. I reckon the tipping point has been reached. I do think there is something new that's happening here, and I think the momentum will be kept up by young women.
Patricia Karvelas is the host of Radio National Breakfast, Q&A on ABC TV, and the Party Room podcast, which you can find on the ABC Listen app. If you or someone you know needs help, contact the National Sexual Assault, Family and Domestic Violence Helpline on 1800 RESPECT or 1800 737 732. In an emergency, call 000. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, with audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley.
ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.